Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Military History. Today I'm super excited. We're going to start talking about our first battle, and I chose the Battle of Marathon as my first subject. This will be, I don't know, approximately 4 episodes long. I'm not entirely sure yet. This is my first podcast, as I told you guys. As you guys already know, the Battle of Marathon took place in 490 BCE, when the Persian Empire sailed across the Aegean Sea and tried to destroy the city of Athens. And we're going to look at different parts and different aspects of this battle. Today, however, we're simply going to talk about the prelude and some of the stuff that took place prior to that. All right, guys, hope you enjoy this. This is the Battle of Marathon, 490 BCE. First of all, let's address the obvious, and that is that more than likely, most of us, at least initially, associated the word marathon with the running event. You know, the one where you run 26 miles, and not necessarily a famous battle in history. But yeah, it turns out that the Battle of Marathon is perhaps the first major event in what later becomes known as the Greco-Persian Wars. Today, as my main source, I'm going to use a book titled Great Battles: Decisive Conflicts That Have Shaped History by Christer Jorgensen. I believe this book chose a good historical point to start this story, and that is with the Persian conquest of Asia Minor. So, back in 539 BCE, the Persian Empire under Cyrus the Great comes and conquers all of Asia Minor. By the way, that is modern-day Turkey. And what makes this significant for our story is that the western coast of Asia Minor was already inhabited by a bunch of little Greek city-states, states like Miletus and Ephesus that you've heard before. Okay, so that means that now you've got Greek city-states under the control of the Persian Empire. And for the sake of simplicity, today we're going to call all these Greeks living on the western coast of Asia Minor as Ionian Greeks. And what's interesting to me is that for about 4 decades or so, everything was cool between these Ionian Greeks and the Persian Empire. And I want to take some time to talk about this here for a second, because just about every single class that I've taken up until this point, especially those back in grade school, make it seem like the Greeks and the Persians were natural born enemies, and that you would never have Greeks and Persians working together or trading with each other. And it seems like that was not quite the case here. I mean, you've got about 40 years of cooperation between the Greeks and the Persians. So I find that absolutely fascinating here. So my question is, what went wrong? And for the longest, the answer that was given to me was that the Greeks and the Persians were simply way too different, that philosophically they would never get along, that the Persians believed in this strict monarchy way of doing things, and that the Greeks were independent thinking people, and that an eruption was simply bound to happen. But now I don't think that answer is sufficient enough. I don't think the Greeks were so naturally against having a monarchy or against having a king. I mean, there's plenty of examples where the Greeks were okay with a king. The most famous one of them all, of course, is the Spartans. The Spartans had a monarchy up until this point and after this point. The Athenians themselves had a monarchy up until 510 BCE. They were happy with the king until, of course, they came across Hippias and they overthrew him. By the way, keep a tag on that name, Hippias. He'll be relevant for our story. And the last example that I have is the March of the 10,000 with Xenophon, where you have a bunch of Greek peoples from all across the Hellenistic world fighting for a Persian king. They were fighting for Darius III, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, there you have it. So I don't think the Greeks were so against having a king, or even fighting for a monarchy for that matter. So I'm not sure if I buy that answer anymore. However, today, while reading this book, I learned something new, and that is that the Persian Empire was actually imposing some pretty harsh trading regulations on the Ionian Greeks. And naturally, this would lead to the slowing down or even stunting the Ionian Greek economic development. And that, of course, is a reason for anyone to get mad. I mean, let's think about our own history for a second here. American history, that is. And back in our colonial days, we were pretty upset when Britain imposed their Navigation Act on us. This meant that much like the Ionian Greeks, we too were restricted as to who we were allowed to conduct business with. Now, we were forced to conduct business only with British ships. Or let's talk about a different example, a more famous example, the Stamp Act and the Tea Act. That little financial strain was enough to break the camel's back, and it led us to our revolution. And of course, the American Revolution is not the only example where some financial strain led to a revolution. But it is the only one that I can think of where most of us could relate to. Anyhow, guys, there you have it. That's my personal take on what I believe led to the Ionian Revolution. While I do believe that the Greeks and the collective Persian Empire had a lot of philosophical differences, I don't think those were the reasons that led to the revolution. I think the reasons were much more practical in nature. And being under financial strain, of course, has always led to friction, throughout history, that is. And if you have enough friction, that has led to plenty of revolutions throughout history. So that is why I think that was a real driving force behind this revolution. And with that said, I think this is a good place to end today's podcast. But before I take off, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my first recording. As you can probably tell, I was super nervous. So thank you for dealing with that. Anyhow, next episode, we'll pick up right here. We'll pick up where the Ionian Greeks went across the Aegean Sea to ask their cousins over in mainland Greece with assistance in this revolution. Okay, guys, that's what we'll pick up. See you soon.